correspondent in Canberra is Karen Middleton. Good morning, Karen.
Morning, Catherine.
Now, this continues, this proposed change to Australia's constitution to formally recognise Indigenous groups. Has there been a further development?
Well, in the past week, we've had a significant development, or late last week, I should say. We finally saw the form of words that will be put to the people. So we saw the question and the form of words that would go into the constitution to change it if the referendum is endorsed. Now, the form of words are sort of not that much different to the words that were originally flagged by the Prime Minister when he gave a speech about this in the middle of last year after winning the election. But it's been a bit controversial because of the words executive government, that this body, which would be formed of Indigenous people, could give advice to both executive government and the parliament on matters that directly relate to Indigenous Australians. There's been some concern in legal circles that maybe that might expose government decisions to legal challenge all the way to the High Court if it was able to be demonstrated that they didn't adequately take the advice of this advisory body. But other legal scholars who've been advising the government and the Indigenous working group that devised this wording say that that's not right, that it is not a significant risk. So we now have the wording, but we're now in the sort of situation where in the political domain a lot of questions are being asked about how this will work, and the Liberal Party now in opposition are leading the charge, asking lots of nitty-gritty questions about legalities and what issues they'd be able to advise on, giving the impression that they're looking for ways to obstruct the process of the voice, and the government is now accusing them of being very negative and was hoping it would get bipartisan support, because getting a referendum up is not an easy ask in this country. We've got a history of them not succeeding. They have to get the majority of the six states in Australia, the two territories don't get counted in that, and then a majority of the population overall. So it's not very easy. So it'll be an interesting challenge for the government to try and succeed with this later in the year.
All right. Also happening today, there has been a climate deal of sorts.
Yes, indeed. We've got a very checkered history on climate action in this country, going back decades now. 14 years ago, the Rudd government proposed an emissions trading scheme, which the then coalition in opposition wouldn't support, and neither would the Greens. The Greens said it didn't go far enough, and we didn't get it for a number of years. It was the coalition government that supported it, and there were negotiations throughout at that point. Ultimately, the Greens didn't want to support it because it wasn't good enough. Then we saw the government under Labor introduce one finally under Julia Gillard. That didn't last long. The coalition government came in and removed it. So a very checkered history. Now we've got a deal on a safeguards mechanism, which was introduced under the coalition but didn't really have any teeth, designed to keep emissions down. It was designed to affect the 215 largest emitting companies in Australia, but under the previous government, there weren't really any caps on how much pollution they could emit, so pollution wasn't really reducing. Under the new arrangement that they've reached with the Labor government's reached with the Greens, there will be now an overall cap on emissions, which will make it much more difficult for new entrants into the market, particularly gas and coal entrants, to be able to set up, because they may well lead to the exceeding of the overall cap. The Greens actually wanted to set up to ban all future new projects in coal and gas. The government wouldn't come at that. They have reached this agreement, which will see emissions drive down over time. So it's been welcomed as a good start, but probably still not enough to meet emissions reduction targets both in Australia and to contribute towards reducing them to a safe level overall across the world.
Now, there's been a war crime arrest. What's the context here? It's been such a controversial issue and the subject of much litigation. Is this unrelated?
Indeed, a few years ago, we've seen a series of media reports which have exposed alleged war crimes of Australian soldiers in Afghanistan. We saw a big inquiry published a couple of years ago, published its report by the Inspector General of the Australian Defence Force, confirming that there was a belief that war crimes were committed and a special investigator's office has been set up. Now we are seeing the first charge laid against an Australian soldier. His name is Oliver Schultz. He's 41 years old. And the context of the charge he's facing is that ABC TV here on its Four Corners investigative program aired a program a few years ago that showed a soldier shooting dead an unarmed civilian in a cornfield in Afghanistan. Now, we are told that this is the alleged incident, or this is the incident that is Mr. Schultz is alleged to have been involved in. So he was arrested in regional New South Wales late last week. He's appeared in court first in Queanbeyan and then in Sydney. And he's now been released on bail because he was held, detained initially and was going to be held in the Goulburn maximum security facility just a couple of hundred kilometres north of Canberra. And the argument by his lawyers was that he was in grave danger if he was held there because of people with links, potential links to terrorism and to the other side of the fight that Australia was in Afghanistan. And so the judge has upheld that argument and he's been released on bail, but he faces legal proceedings on a war crimes charge, and he's the first Australian soldier to face such a charge ever. So it's a case of much interest.
Now, the anti-trans furore, and this we've just had a very brief Posy Parker visit to New Zealand.
Yeah,
we saw the Nazi salutes that happened in Melbourne, I think it was, wasn't it? But what is rolling on off the back of that? What is the conversation happening at the moment and involving the federal government indeed?
Well, one of the organisers of that rally in Melbourne was a woman by the name of Moira Deeming, who's a member of the State Parliament in Victoria. Now, she upset some of her colleagues by being involved in that rally. It was an anti-trans rally, as you say. Posy Parker was the speaker there. That's the name by which she's known anyway. And she, Moira Deeming, went along to the rally and also addressed it, and it was effectively hijacked by Nazi sympathisers, and that's where those Nazi salutes came in. So there were sort of two groups that came together at that protest, and that's where things got a bit ugly. Her colleagues in the state parliament decided that they wanted her expelled, or some of them did. The leader, John Pizzuto, took that to his party room this week, but didn't succeed in getting her expelled from the Liberal Party. He only succeeded in getting her suspended for 9 months for her attendance at the rally. She made an argument, quite a tearful one, we understand, to her colleagues, that her advocacy for women's rights stemmed from her having been abused as a child, sexually abused as a child, and that this had affected her values and the way she fought for women's rights, which was the anti-trans rally was deemed as a women's rights rally initially. So her colleagues accepted that, and they pressed John Pizzuto, the leader, not to expel her. Well, now he's under considerable pressure on his own leadership because he didn't succeed in doing what he wanted. And there's been much controversy around the whole issue. In fact, now we understand that the Liberal Party at the federal level has been pressing the federal government to do something about Nazi symbols and not just make a noise about this, but put its money where its mouth is. Well, indeed, we discover that the federal government has been examining that for some months and is looking at legislating to ban Nazi symbols and the Nazi salute in Australia, and they're just working their way through the constitutional requirements of that. So a number of things have flowed, I guess, from that one incident, some political and some in policy terms. So it looks as though it's sort of not all over yet.
And just finally, what's the Obama mania? Do you have a visit?
We have a visit, yes. Former President, US President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle are in Australia at the moment on a speaking tour for Mr. Obama. He spoke at an event in Sydney last night at a big arena in the middle of town. He was interviewed by former Foreign Minister Julie Bishop. Tickets were available for, I think, the very reasonable price, $195 bottom line, and up to a special package of about $895. And I think the stadium that he's speaking in can sit up to about 10,000 people. So these are not small events, exclusive events, Catherine. They're very large, but he entertain the audience with stories about the first time he came to Australia. He spoke about China and Russia and Ukraine. So wide ranging, both personal comments and some geopolitical commentary. And he'll be doing it the same again in Melbourne. And we understand taking home sort of something between $1 and $2 million for his travels. So the speaking circuit is a lucrative one when you're a former president and a popular former president. And he's been cutting his way through Sydney. People seem to be very pleased to see him. He went to the beach had a look around town. But the weather hasn't been all that welcoming, but doesn't seem to have bothered them, and people seem quite pleased to see them. So, yeah, a bit of presidential excitement in Sydney going on.
Karen, I'm sorry, but your fees can't quite reach that level with us. But
you disappoint me, Catherine. You disappoint me.
Look, when you write your next book, off you go. And $1 or $2 million for a few days. Nice move if you can get it. Thanks very much,
I'll
Karen Middleton.
Stadium.